So sometimes in life, we find that we can say things, and saying them is pretty easy, and saying them even feels pretty simple, but they turn out to be a lot more than what meets the eye. So for example, we can say, I want to save up for an emergency fund for the first time, because I have never done that before. And so that sounds simple and good and very responsible, but if we think about it, if it's something you have never done before, what is the amount of work that goes into that commitment? What are the things that you have to do to trim back the budget? What are the things that you have to say no to in order to make that happen? Think about the sacrifices of the lunches you packed instead of eating out, for the clothes and makeup you may have wanted to get but had to put off, the vacation plans that you may have had to put on hold for now. So starting that emergency fund from scratch, it feels so simple, but yet it turns out to be difficult and rife with a lot of sacrifices. So many of you all know that my husband and I ran the Disney World Marathon last Sunday. And so, thank you. Much appreciated. So it's a simple thing to just, I realize it's a different thing to do it, but it's a simple thing to say, I want to run a marathon. When I began last year and said, well, if they do that in person again, I want to run it. And it's even simple, minus the sticker shock of how much it costs, I sat in a comfy chair in my office on my lunch break and registered us. That was really, really easy. But saying it and registering are not the full extent of what running a marathon means. And there's a lot more commitment and work and sacrifice than just saying that statement. There's all the physical miles that you have to put out on the pavement, all the fun things that you have to say no to in order to get those training runs in. There was literal blood, sweat, and tears along the way. So many people ask me if the race itself was difficult, and I've said not so much. I found that signing up for the race was easy. Running the race, because I had trained, was actually fairly easy. But it was that middle part that was incredibly difficult. Making the dedication to train and follow that training plan, to fully live into it, to know and to willingly make all the sacrifices I needed to make, that was difficult. And that's why it ended up being so much more work than what you may see on the surface. So we're continuing this series we're going through called Relationships 101. And we're looking to get back to the basics of what our relationship with God and others and everything in between, what it should look like. And like Jeremy mentioned, today we are focusing on what our relationship with Jesus should look like. And so we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? It's a very easy thing to say, I want to follow Jesus. Just like it can be an easy thing to say, well, I want to build an emergency fund or I want to run a marathon. But just like those two tasks, the emergency fund and the marathon, they're so much deeper than just saying some words. And so then when we say we want to follow Jesus, it too is more than just saying some words. It's more than what meets the eye as well. So to dive into what it does mean to follow Jesus, we're going to look at a familiar passage that if you've ever came across it before, you will no doubt know that it is very confusing. But let's look at it together. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As Jesus and his disciples traveled along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds in the sky have nests, but the human one has no place to lay his head. Then Jesus said to someone else, follow me. And then he replied, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of God's kingdom. Someone else said to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to those in my house. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for God's kingdom. So there's a confusing passage here, that is no doubt. And so you may be wondering why so early in this series on relationships, Jesus is saying things that if we did, we might wreck our own relationships. Skipping your father's funeral, leaving your family home in the middle of the night without saying goodbye, those are not ways to set yourself up for successful relationships, granted. But we have to take a look at the context of this passage. So many times when it comes to confusing or unclear passages like this in the Bible, we find that the context makes all the difference. So if we look at verse 51, as the time approached when Jesus had to be taken up into heaven, he determined to go to Jerusalem. This is such important context in these statements that we might otherwise miss. This is the beginning of a shift in tone in the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus is heading toward his own suffering and death. Now, we have a lot more in the Gospel of Luke to go. This is only chapter 9, but this is an important shift towards that section of the Gospel. We see here that Jesus and his disciples are starting to realize what the full cost of discipleship is. Over the course of the gospel, Jesus comes head to head more and more with religious authorities who don't like what he's saying and the challenges that he is issuing. And so in this passage, in these three conversations that Jesus has, he reminds us that this challenge, these resistance, this countercultural stance that Jesus is taking, all of that is not just for Jesus to take alone. The cost of discipleship on our end is high too. That cost of discipleship is more than simply saying, I want to follow Jesus. It is more than what meets the eye. So the cost of discipleship sometimes means facing discomforts like having nowhere to lay your head, of taking that discomfort to analyze our lives, be really honest with ourselves and see where we may need to change, of taking a position or a stance that might be uncomfortable or unpopular or countercultural, but we know it's exactly what God is calling us to do. The cost of discipleship sometimes means rearranging our priorities. We know we can't stay stuck in the past. We know we can't stay focusing on our own things, our own status, our own gathering up stuff for ourselves. We have to look ahead. We have to give generously and share generously. We have to look and see, how is God calling us to make a difference in our world here and now? Jesus is reminding us that although saying, I want to follow Jesus, is easy, living it out is a challenge. That saying Jesus is Lord might be really commonplace in our language today, but it is really a radical statement. In fact, when in biblical times, when the early Christians would say Jesus is Lord, it was considered heretical. It was considered against the Roman government, who saw all of their figureheads as God-like rulers. And if we say Jesus is Lord, and we really truly live into it, well, that is a radical statement for us today as well. So how do you and I live into this commandment to follow Jesus today? So how do we as Christians have an authentic and a real and a meaningful relationship with Jesus today? Well, I would say one of the important things that we can do as followers of Jesus is to make sure we are prioritizing what and who Jesus prioritized. We learn so much in the Gospels about Jesus, about who he was, about what he did in his ministry, who he gave attention to, and who was heavy on his heart. And when we read closely, when we really listen, when we really pay attention, when we really get to know who Jesus is, well, then it makes it clear what we must do to follow him. We see over and over again that Jesus, among many other things, is always caring for those on the margins. We see Jesus feeding the over 5,000 when the disciples said it would have been easier to send them home to fend for themselves. We see that Jesus welcomed the little children to him when children were very low on the totem pole in that day and age. We see that Jesus ate with sinners. He paid attention to the outcast Samaritans. He held the outcast sick like lepers and held women in high regard. And so when we follow Jesus, it means caring for those on the margins as well. It means caring for those who we might otherwise fail to see. And so we also see throughout Jesus' life and ministry, he was dedicated to serving others. Wherever he was going, whatever he was doing, Jesus was finding ways to serve others. He healed a woman who was suffering and had been bleeding for 12 years. He healed a servant and called others to join him in on this work. Jesus absolutely prioritized serving others. And so while the call to follow Jesus is so much more than a simple statement, that does not mean it's impossible. It's a challenge that regular Christians, just like you and just like me, are living into every day. Regular Christians like you and me are seeing to break down the barriers in the world just like Jesus would. So I'd like to tell you about a group called the Be the Bridge Group. So this is a partnership with our church and Hearst Memorial African Methodist Episcopal Church in Winter Haven. So in this group, we have representatives from both churches meeting together, praying together, laughing together, developing friendships, and engaging in ministry together. They're creating bonds and helping to break barriers, being the bridge to help the kingdom of God be more like it was intended to be. And we also have many, many church members who are living into that call to serve, finding out how we can serve in our local community and even our world. Many are making a difference with safe and affordable housing, criminal justice, mental health, and more in our community by advocating with Polk County Peace. Many are making sure that they're packing meals for children in great need in our community every month through Kids Pack. Many are providing meals for families all across our community through our monthly food collections. Some are even getting their hands dirty, gleaning, picking extra produce for those in need with the Society of St. Andrews. All of these actions may seem simple, but they are all examples of ordinary Christians following Jesus. Ordinary Christians who are making Jesus' priorities their priorities as well. So each week in this series, we will be releasing a series of challenge questions, we're calling them, on social media. There are going to be ways for us to think deeper and to live more fully into each of these relationships we are discussing. So I'm going to give you a preview this morning because I thought it went ahead and fit well. So you can already think about how this message has spoken to you today. And so we are going to try our text in church texting to see if you all can go ahead, think on the question, go ahead and type out some thoughts, text them in, and I would love if they can be added to the benediction if the technology all works out. Always dependent on the technology. But for all of us to think and reflect, our question is, can you write in a sentence or two who Jesus is to you? Not an answer that is what you think you're supposed to say or church approved, but who is Jesus to you? Who did Jesus prioritize that you need to prioritize? And with this idea, how could we all be fully living into that commitment of following Jesus? And how, if we all lived into that, how could that change our lives, our church, our community, and even our world? Let's close in prayer together. Gracious God, we thank you for the life, the ministry, the person, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May we learn to live more like Jesus. May we learn to love more like Jesus. May we learn to be more like Jesus every day. Amen. So as we prepare to go from this place, hear the benediction. We had a lot of good stuff that people sent in, that Jesus is indescribable, that Jesus is a great comfort in our times of need, but I do love this response and want to share it with you all. Jesus is my compass, my true north. Even when I stray off course, I know Jesus will get me back on course. I love that, and I feel like those are good words for us to leave with. So may we go from this place with a renewed commitment to follow Jesus, a renewed commitment to follow that compass, accompanied with that great grace that even when we fall, even when we veer off the path a little bit, Jesus is always faithful to bring us back. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.